Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, though it's nowhere near as world-changing as the death of George Floyd, it's still tragic. Duluth had a homicide last week. What happened, and can you put it in context?
Yeah, over the weekend, Duluth recorded its first homicide of the year, and Duluth typically sees, you know, maybe two or three homicides in a given year. And this involved a teenager, a 17-year-old, shooting into a crowd and killing a man, shooting him in the head at about 7 p.m. on Saturday in downtown Duluth. He fled and was quickly apprehended and was charged with second-degree murder this week. There are other suspects in this. Police say that there were more shots fired, possibly toward the suspect as he was fleeing, as this was just a bit of a brawl that got out of hand. And no motive is known yet, and hopefully we can learn more about what caused this and then put the community at ease. It was definitely a tense time in an area where this doesn't happen very often.
Well, on a much lighter subject, though, one involving international intrigue, if you will, we're still having issues of Americans being able to cross into Canada. What's the latest, and is there a solution?
Well, there's a solution for about 120 Americans, residents of the Northwest Angle, you know, that chimney up at the top of Minnesota that's cut off by land from the rest of the state. Those residents are now able to get through without pre- and post-arrival COVID-19 testing. However, the government, Canadian government, did extend its border restrictions until at least June 21st. So we are still looking at more deliberations about possible vaccine passports or allowing more people in with or without COVID tests. But as of right now, if you want to go to Canada, you need a very good reason to get in and get back out.
Well, back in Duluth or the harbor, you've been reporting on the hot real estate market. Can I get something with the lake view out of every window?
Well, you can if you're picked to be the right person to be the new caretaker of Canal Park's historic North Pier Lighthouse. So the Duluth Harbor North Pier Headlight, as it's officially known, is on offer from the U.S. General Services Administration to get a new caretaker. The lighthouse is free if you're a government agency, nonprofit, or community development organization, and it has to be dedicated to, you know, education and preservation. It will be sold if it's not transferred to a public body or nonprofit. So I guess get your documents in order. And, you know, otherwise, you could look around the region for a house with a view, but get ready to pay way over asking, because the trend right now in Twin Ports real estate, both in Duluth and Superior, is, you know, sellers are getting every penny they're asking for and often more. On the Minnesota side, the median sale price reached a new record high of over $216,000 last month. On the Wisconsin side, we got close to a record median sale price of $165,000. So all in all, you know, I'm being told by realtors that you're getting multiple offers, you're getting over asking, and there's just not enough on the market.
Well, Danny, on the Wisconsin side, there's some political jostling going on concerning the State Natural Resources Board.
Yeah, and this board, you know, is the policy setting board for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And the chair of that board, Fred Prain, has decided not to step down following the expiration of his term. And why that may be an issue is because Democratic Governor Tony Evers announced the appointments of two new nominees to the board, one being Sandy D. Noss of Ashland. She's got more than 30 years of conservation experience and has worked as a county conservationist and teaches at the Ashland High School. And she essentially cannot take a seat on the board until the Senate confirms her nomination by Governor Evers. And typically in the past, what's happened is that board members, when their term expires, they step down or resign to make way for the incoming nominees. But that isn't happening this time around. The chair says that he wants to remain on the board because he thinks that the board can use his leadership right now before the nominee is confirmed by the Senate. And, you know, under state statutes, he is allowed to remain on the board past the expiration of his term. It goes back to a 1964 Supreme Court ruling in Wisconsin that allows people to hold over in their position until that new appointee is confirmed. The reason why this might become an ordeal is because the state Senate is Republican controlled, and, you know, Republican lawmakers have held off for up to 2 years on some of Governor Evers' appointments.
Well, that's not the only dispute between the governor and the Republican legislature. There's another one about Medicaid expansion.
Yeah, and this one is not anything new. They've been fighting about this for years, but a special session was called by Governor Tony Evers to expand Medicaid in the state and $1 billion from the federal government. That session was scheduled for Tuesday, and the Republican-controlled state legislature took no action. They basically gaveled in and gaveled out in a matter of seconds. But this expansion would extend Medicaid health benefits to an additional 91,000 people in Wisconsin if it were accepted, because it raises the income cap on the federal poverty level from 100% to 138%. So for like a family of four, that would be a family making $26,500 right now. But if it's raised, you know, that cap could be up to $36,570. Republicans are opposing this expansion because they think it's reckless. They see it as an unnecessary increase in welfare. And they argue that it could saddle Wisconsin with additional costs into the future and force more expensive private plans for others.
Well, rounding out those disputes between the governor and the Republican lawmakers, there's yet another one over transgender athletes competing in women's sports.
Yeah, Republican lawmakers have introduced a couple of bills that would bar transgender women and girls from playing on school sports teams that align with their gender identities. So under one bill, any public school or school that receives public money for K-12 education in Wisconsin would be required to divide their sports teams by sex and prevent any student who was born a male at birth from competing on girls' teams. There's another bill that would basically require the same policies for the University of Wisconsin system schools and state technical colleges. Supporters of the bills basically argue that the change would protect female athletes from injury or competitive disadvantage. There were parents and student athletes who spoke in favor of these bills, again, voicing concern about safety or competitive fairness. One person said that every male on the female podium displaces a deserving female. But transgender athletes who spoke argued that they would like to think that they add something to sports by, you know, enhancing diversity across a variety of sports. And also that they're not looking to get an upper hand. They just want to belong and be a part of their school and participate in school sports.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week.
You don't have to ride Jim Crow. No, you don't have to ride Jim Crow. On June the 3rd, the High Court said...
Three quarters of a century ago, the Supreme Court on June the 3rd, 1946, issued a landmark ruling that would begin to dismantle racial segregation. Yet that was largely ignored. In a special radio presentation of the public television documentary You Don't Have to Ride Jim Crow, we'll hear the inspiring story of the pioneers who offered up their freedom to lay the groundwork for the civil rights movement. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
I like old fences where the
they've fallen into disrepair. A few slats missing and the wood is weathered bare.
Old fences bring to me a sense of time of history. Stretch between the posts of faded memories.